But I just want to direct our attention to the life of Abraham, because it is through Abraham that we see how God moves in the life of his people, and how when God calls someone, you have a choice to make. Are you going to listen to what God says, or are you going to not listen? So let's turn our attention to Genesis chapter 12, reading from verses 1 to verse 8. And it says in Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord." So reads the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we see here in the beginning of chapter 12 that God called Abram. And he called him with a purpose. He called him to do two things. First, he called him out of his situation. It says in verse 1, it says, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house." Now, I want us to kind of take this step by step and so forth, because a lot of times when we read God's word, we know the story, we're comfortable with the story. And it's like, okay, yeah, I know he called him out of his country, called him out of his family, called him out of his father's house. But I want us to kind of slow down for a minute and just take a look, take a kind of picture yourself or transport yourself into the life of Abram, or into the story that we see. And look at what God is ultimately calling Abram to do. The first thing he said was he called him out of his country. Now, we know the story, and for those of you who may not know the story, I don't want to assume anything, but for those of us who may not know the story, Abram was part of the line of Shem, which, if you know the story, there's the story of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, who were the three brothers who ultimately came out of the flood and so forth. And then, so we have Abram, who's part of the line of Shem, and what happens is that God calls Abram out of his home country. Now, what do we know about Ur of the Chaldeans? All right, because that's where he's ultimately from. Ur of the Chaldeans was a place kind of similar to like New York City, if you wanted to bring it into today's understanding of today's time. Ur was a very robust metropolis. There was a lot of things happening in Ur. You had a lot of economic wealth and status. You had a lot of cultural things that are happening there. You had a lot of religious happenings there, where you had a lot of trading happening. You had a lot of manufacturing, a lot of produce, a lot of import-exports was going on right there in Ur. You could find different countries trading in Ur. From as far as Asia Minor to India, you could find different things that were maybe there. And if you needed something, the best place to go to would probably be Ur of the Chaldeans. You found if you needed things for to wear, things to eat, and so forth. And kind of similar to New York. New York, you have everything that's possible that you could possibly think of can be found right here in New York. From cultural things, there's over hundreds of different cultures represented right here. You have a lot of foods, a lot of clothing, latest fashion and things of that sort can be found right here, just like in Ur. What else? Ur was very up to date in terms of modern medicine. You had a lot of medical expertise taking place there, a lot of treatments, which in today's time would be considered aspirins or Tylenols or things of that sort. A lot of things that could be used to take care of fevers and pains and things of that sort. You had a lot of prescription medicine that was being produced there in Ur. Also, it was also the center of a lot of worship and idol worshiping. And one of the major gods in Ur was the moon god. And a lot of people did a lot of worshiping, idol worshiping taking place right then and there. So much so that if you know the story of Babel, it was the people from Ur that had a desire to want to make a name for themselves, and they tried to build this huge building or this huge temple way up into the heavens to make a name for themselves. And we know that with the story of that, God decided to mix up their languages and disperse them and scatter them abroad. So this is the type of place that Abraham was from. A very robust place. And for those of us who've been living here in New York for all their lives, this is home. This is comfortable. This is a place that you're familiar with. God was pulling him out of the comfortable. He was taking him out of a place of comfort. And when God calls you, he calls you out of an environment of comfort, familiarity, and darkness. And yes, Ur was a place of darkness because there was a lot of idol worshiping taking place. He takes him out of that place into a place that is discomfort or uncomfortable, the unknown, and a place of light. This is where God was taking Abram and his family. So then let's look at what else is God taking him out of? He's taking him out of his family. Now we all know when we're around families is good times happening. Sometimes good times, sometimes bad times, depending upon your family. All right? But the bottom line is family is also a familiar place. Or around being around family is a familiar people of influence. Whenever you have challenges or problems that's going on, the first place you go to is family, all right, usually. And why is that? Because family are people of influence to you. They know you. You grew up with them, all right? A lot of decisions that you may make, whether it's financial decisions or marital decisions or different things of that sort, you're always going to find yourself going back to family, people that you're comfortable with and you know, all right? They'll provide you with a lot of information, place of support and guidance and help. And in addition to that, family is also a place where a lot of cultural norms and traditions and customs are upheld and preserved. Now, we know that in Ur, there was a lot of idol worshiping. So you could imagine that Abram's family were probably worshiping moon gods and things of that sort. And God had to remove him out of the comfort of his environment, out of the comfort of the people that have the most influence to him. And when God calls you out from people, when God calls you, he calls you out from people who have the most influence on your life so that you can hear his voice and be led by God. Let me say that again. When God calls you, he calls you out from people who have the most influence on your life so you can hear his voice and be led by God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So then what's the next thing? He called him out of his father's house. Now, if you know the story, if you go back, you'll see that Abram's father had died before God had called him. So, in this situation, what is God calling him out of when God is talking about his father's house? He's talking about the authority, his father's authority. Now, his father's dead, yes, but what you have to understand is, now that his father is dead, Abram would have been the one to take up the mantle, take up the responsibility of caring for his family and his next of kin. So we see here that even though that his father was dead, he would be underneath his father's authority. Because his father was dead, he would be the one that's responsible for everyone there. And we have to understand that the reason why God told him to come out of his father's house is because he wanted to take him out of the authority of his father, which ultimately was the authority of sin, and take him to a place where the only authority that Abram would be able to hear is God's authority, divine authority. So because of those three things, his country, his family, and his father's authority, once Abram could come out of those things, those influences, then we can start to see how God will start to move in Abram's life. So what's the next thing we see? Now that Abram is being called out of these places and these influences, God is calling him into something new. And what we see here is in verse 2 and 3, it says, God says to Abram, he says, I'm calling you out of these places to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Let's take it slow, okay? The first thing we want to look at is God is taking him to a land that I will show you. Now, as I looked at this, the first thing I thought about was, we're living in an age with GPS, and whenever you're going somewhere, you type in, I'm going to McDonald's, or I'm going to AutoZone, or wherever it is I'm going to Good Tidings, and you want to find the best way to get there. Like this morning, we put in the GPS, and for those of you who have to go through on the Belt Parkway, you know all the traffic and that's happening over there with whatever, I don't know what they're doing. Somebody's getting paid, all I know. Somebody's getting paid because they've been working on the Van Wyck Expressway forever, and it is what it is. So we put it in, and it said, well, you could take the Belt Parkway, or you could go to the Jackie Robinson. And Janelle was like, you know what? Let's take the Jackie Robinson. I was like, you sure? Because, you know, saying a shorter distance if you go on the Belt Parkway. And she was like, well, how much shorter of a distance? And I was like, well, it's about a minute. She was like, let's do the Jackie Robinson. So I was like, all right, fine. So we did the Jackie Robinson. But the whole point I'm trying to drive at is that you have a destination. Right? You put in a destination, you get there. And it tells you the best way. Abram had no destination. He didn't know the destination. God didn't tell him what the destination was. He just said, come out of this to a land that I will show you. That was it. So Abraham's like, where are we going? You know, he's like, no, I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you where the land is. And that was it. So why is that so important? Because God was taking him, as we stated before, God was taking him out of a place of idolatry into a new place, into a new setting, into a new environment. The next thing is that God said to him, he says, I will make you a great nation. God told Abram he would make him a great nation. The nation that he came from was a nation that it was a people that desired to make themselves great. The people of Babel, they wanted to erect a monument to themselves to make a name for themselves. But God said, I will make your name, I will make you a great nation. I will make you
a great people. And it's important for us to understand that when God says that he's going to do something, when God is the one that's making you great, there's something different right there. You making yourself great versus God making you great. And when God establishes you as a great nation or someone great, it is he that has to do, that has done it, and it's not you. Let me say it again. When God establishes you as a great person or a great nation, it is he that has done it and not you. So you can't take all the credit. You cannot take any of the credit. Why? Because if you try to take the credit, then he will scatter you like the people in Babel. The other thing is, when God establishes you as great, it comes with a purpose and a responsibility. If you are in a position right now, whether at your job or everything, or wherever it is that you are, God has you in a place, in this high position or whatever, wherever it may be, for a purpose. He's not putting you there so you can think yourself better than anyone else. He's placed you there strategically for a purpose, to impact people. And we're going to see further down how that kind of plays out in Abram. The next thing he says is, I will bless you. Abraham was granted wealth and riches by God. Now understand this. Abraham was already wealthy. He was already wealthy by this time. And this is very important, because when God is the one that blesses you, the blessings is so much better. It is so much better. Not only is it so much better, but there was a word that I was thinking of when I was putting this together, the word lavish. He lavishes his blessings on us. How many of us want to be lavished by God? Amen? I do. I know I do. Because when he lavishes his blessings on you, you can't take any of the credit. You can't take any of it. He may bless you with whatever, you know, and the things I'm talking about is material things. He may bless you with a house, a car, or whatever things of that sort. But understand something. When it's God that's blessing you, not you seeking after wealth. Because we all know what happens when we are lovers of money. The lovers of money is the root of all evil. Greed, selfishness steps in. And when that happens, you are utterly ruined. But when God lavishes on you, it's a beautiful thing. Amen? It is a beautiful thing. But the other thing about when God lavishes or pours out his blessing upon you, those blessings are not just for you. It's for other people as well. It's to bless others. And God poured out his blessing upon Abraham so that he could be a blessing to others, to those around him. But now the other thing I want to point out is, the blessings is not just material. It's not just material. We in our finite selves just focus on the material. We focus just on the material. But what does Psalms 103 say? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. How many of us need loving kindness and tender mercies in our lives? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many of you feel youthful right now? Amen. Further down in that passage says, through the Lord's mercy. No, sorry. Is that it? That's not the verse I'm thinking of. It also says, further down, it says, his anger is not, it doesn't
Actually, let me just turn to it. Let me turn to it. He will not, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. That's what it was. The Lord, in verse 8 of 103, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Praise the Lord for that. Because the amount of times that we make mistakes and the Lord's anger could be hot on us, but for the grace of God. So his mercies are not, his blessings are not just material. They are divine blessings that can only come through God. Amen? Amen. Let's move on. It says, I will make your name great. It's like just God just keeps pouring out the blessing. First, his nation is going to be great. He'll be a great nation. Then he'll receive blessings from God. Then what else? Then he'll make his name great. It just keeps coming on. See, God is just lavishing the blessings all over him. God gave Abraham a new name. And we'll see that later on. But it says, no longer will his name be Abraham. It will be Abraham, the father of many nations. Abraham's name, which later would become Abraham, all right? The people in the land of Shinar wanted, that's the people in Ur of Chaldeans, wanted to make a name for themselves, and we already established that. But God divided their tongue. See the difference? When you try to do it, make your name great, it falls to ruin. When God makes your name great, he uses you for a greater purpose. And even to this very day, we're still talking about Abraham. Amen? And that's not because of what Abraham did. It's because of what God did in Abraham's life. Amen? What is God doing in your life that years from now, generations from now, someone will say, man, you remember that brother from Good Tidings, man? When he would sit down with me and just open up the word of God and just like, wow, praise the Lord for that. My life would be so much different if he didn't do that. Or my life would be so much different if she didn't do that. Praise the Lord for the big sisters that you guys are still going strong. Amen. And now we come to the culmination of all these blessings. You shall be a blessing. That's why God was giving Abraham all these blessings, so that you shall be a blessing. We are to be a blessing to others. We were placed on this earth, called by God to be a blessing. All that God would give to Abraham, name, position, possession, land, would be for the blessing of others. God wanted to use Abraham to impact the world, and he wanted to do it in two ways. He wanted to do it in two ways. One was through his lifestyle. Abram and Sarai could not bear children at that time. And it took them several years until God will finally reveal and come to fruition the birth of Isaac. You think people didn't realize that something different was happening with them? Here you have a 100-year-old man and a 99-year-old woman, and suddenly they're giving birth to a child. You think people weren't talking about that? You think people weren't questioning what happened? The people around them were asking questions. What happened? What did you do? What was going on? How did it happen? And you think Abraham was quiet? No, he was not. He humbly said, it's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. Lifestyle. How many of us here can only say only by the grace of God? I would have been in this situation but for the grace of God. I would have been in that situation but for the grace of God. How many of us have experienced the blessings, God's healing hand? How many of us have experienced when God came through, when we needed some money, and he came in at the time that we needed him to?
We were sweating, and it's like, where's this money going to come from? And it came just in time. How many of you have done wrong by God, and that verse of scripture, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, for his compassion feeling not there, new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. So it's through lifestyle, God was a blessing. I mean, Abraham was a blessing to others. And the second part is coming further down when it says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. But before we get to that, it says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him or curse those who curse you. Those that are a friend of the people of God shall receive God's blessings. But those who call themselves an enemy of the people of God, beware God's wrath. There were people that were in Abraham's household that he acquired. They received the blessings of God because they were underneath Abraham's covering or underneath Abraham's household. But there were people who cursed Abraham and cursed his family, and God took care of them. God wiped them out. We are a chosen people. We are a chosen group of people. God loves us, and he will be an avenger to us if anyone tries to harm us. But those who bless us, or those who are calls us or are a friend to us or bless us, God will pour out his blessings on them as well. We are chosen people, brothers and sisters. We are chosen people. The next part, and I'm going to move on. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This speaks towards the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second way that in which, through Abraham, he would be a blessing to others. Because it was in his line, it was in through the seed of Abraham that Christ, the Messiah, would come through. And we see that as things go on in the life of Abraham. But it's important for us to know that God orchestrated all of this. God called Abram at this time. He called him out of his situation or his comfort zone into a place that is uncomfortable to him. And he told him what he would do and how he would bless him. And now that God has called him, Abraham had a choice to make. When God calls, will you answer? Abraham answered. And what did he do? When you read on verse 4, it says, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. Now, we reading this, we know that it was Canaan that he was going to, but Abram didn't know where he was going. He didn't know it was Canaan. He was just like, okay, Lord, are you going to tell me yet? Are you going to tell me yet? And he didn't realize where he was going until he finally got there. And God said to him, he said, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give you this land. This is the land I'm going to give you, Abram. Now that you're here, I'm going to give this to you. Okay? And because of Abram being obedient to God, we see what happens when our obedience and when we see when our faith kicks in, or not, let me not say kicked in, but when we have faith in God, we see that as a result of this, what did Abram do? He said, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent
with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Basically, he worshiped. He worshiped God. And we know that Bethel means house of God. He established a place where he can call on the name of the Lord. And we see he took him out. God took him out of the comfortable place to a place he's never been before. And God showed himself to be true, that his promises are true. And because of this, Abram worshiped God. Abram had faith in God's promises. And because of his faith in God, we see, as you read in chapters 13 and 14 and 15, you see the faith of Abram beginning to grow and established and things of that sort. So much so that when you come to Genesis chapter 22, where God tests him, the promises finally come to fruition, where God finally says, you're going to be given a son named Isaac. But then God says, I want you to sacrifice your son. Now, I could imagine that maybe God, that Abram probably questioned it. The Bible doesn't say. But what do we see in the Word of God? He obeyed. He had faith. Abram, or now at this point now, it's Abraham, had faith. And because of that faith, we see the example of his son being put on the altar, about to be slain, but God said, do not slay your son, for now I know that you trust me, that you believe me. God knew this already, but his faith was proven. And as a result, what did he say to him? He said, look to the left, or look over, that you'll see a ram, and that take that ram and offer it as a sacrifice, which obviously we know that is a symbolic, it was a symbol of Christ taking our place on the cross. Amen? So now we see that because of Abraham's faith, it is through faith why we are saved. It is through faith, God's grace, through faith why we are saved. Not anything of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. When God calls you, will you answer? When God calls you out, will you listen and will you obey? We have another example of God calling 12 men, 12 disciples, and giving them the responsibility of going in into all the world and preaching the gospel. And we could look at that in Matthew chapter 28. It says, and Jesus came, verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Here we see Christ. His work was done on the cross. It was complete. And now he was going back to the Father. And his last words to these 12 men who he spent roughly 3 years with them, teaching them, telling them about the kingdom of God. And finally, it was time to go. And he gave them the responsibility. Now, kind of rewinding a little bit, these men were fishermen, they were tax collectors, they were men of various occupation and backgrounds, some very pompous, some very angry, some very whatever. And God chose them, not because of anything special that they did
Or they were. But he had a, God chose them, Christ chose them for a purpose. He called them out. Follow me. What did he say to Peter? He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And he called them out. And he, they said, okay, he called me, so let me go. And I'm going to go. He called Levi that was at the tax, at the tables, who was probably putting, you know, money in his pocket for himself and so forth. He called them out. And he called them all from various backgrounds with a purpose. And they answered the call. They didn't know what they were getting into. They thought that once Christ is gone, then the kingdom will be established, the Jewish nation will be restored and so forth, and then everything will be as it should be. But they had no idea that they would turn the world upside down until that glorious day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came into that room, that upper room. And they were speaking in various tongues. And those that were around them heard the wonderful good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they realized that everything that Jesus Christ had told them finally makes sense. Not because of their own understanding. Not because of their intellect. Nothing that they could have done. It was all through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was through their faith in Jesus Christ that allowed all this to happen. God, Christ called them and they responded. God called Abraham and he responded. And the rest is history. And we sitting here, some of us here have responded, and praise the Lord for that. If you have responded to God's call of stepping out of sin, stepping out of this place of darkness, of familiarity, of people influencing you, of somebody else's authority, stepping out of that place into a place where God can speak to you. Praise the Lord for that, if that's your story. If you are still in your sin right now, this is God's way of saying, I am calling you. I am calling you. It's time to come out of the place that you are comfortable with. It's time to come out of the influence of people who have no concept of eternity. It's time for you to come out of somebody else's authority and come and submit yourself to my authority. And I will bless you. And I will make you a blessing to others. I will make your name great. God is calling sinners. God is calling you to repent. Will you answer God's call? If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he's calling you right now. Will you answer his call? And for those of us who have answered God's call, but you might be struggling with different things, or you may be questioning God's promises. You may be questioning, you know, the enemy has a way of telling lies to us. So much so that we forget the promises of God, or because we may not be in God's word as much, he may skew God's word a little bit so that we're not fully confident in his word. What did he say to Eve? Did God really say? Did God really say? And he takes God's word and kind of shakes it up a little bit in your mind so that you don't have that confidence. But what does God's word say? He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's a call going out. No matter where you may be in terms of the call, whether you are an unbeliever or whether you are a believer, God is still calling you. God might be calling you. You may be going gung-ho for God's for for different ministries that's happening in here, but God might be calling you to something new. He might be telling you, you've been doing a great work, but now I'm calling you out of the familiar into a new place, to something unfamiliar, something that you never thought you would get yourself into. I'm calling you to touch lives that you didn't think that you would be able to touch. And you're not able to touch it because of yourself. You have to trust me. You have to walk with me. You have to go follow me to where I'm going to lead you. I'm not going to tell you where I'm taking you. You're just going to have to follow. And when we get there, then I'll let you know where when we're there. So wherever you may be in terms of God's call, he's calling you. And I trust, family, let's listen to God's call. Last thing and I'm done. I was thinking about an example of someone who didn't follow God's call or tried to avoid God's call. And the story of Jonah comes to mind. Jonah tried to run away. He tried to run away. God told him, speak to Nineveh. And what did he do? He's like, I'm going to the pier. I'm jumping on the first boat out of here. And you're not going to be able to get me. And it's funny. Like, no matter how hard Jonah tried to get away from God's call, God was right there. And the men in the boat was like, why are you sleeping? Everybody's calling to their God and so forth. And they're like, why is this man sleeping? Something's not right. And Jonah told them. And Jonah said, well, just throw me into the ocean. I don't know if Jonah thought that, you know, he would be eaten up or whatever, or I don't know. But they picked him up and threw him into the water. And you know, there's a part in that story that I overlooked. For the many times that I've read that story, those men that threw him overboard and the waves and the sea calmed, do you realize that their lives were converted? Their lives were converted. They realized that even though this man did not want to answer the call that God was telling him, they realized that the God that he serves or is trying to avoid is the true and living God. And they offered sacrifices to God. Their lives were transformed. So even if you, for those of us who are saved, and you may not be listening to God's call, even while you're trying to run away, God can use your running away to be a blessing to others. And then eventually he realized, after he was covered in all that fish, whatever, intestines, he realized, okay, I need to go. And the people of Nineveh repented. They repented from the king all the way down to the youngest, sackcloth and ashes. They repented. God is awesome, amen? So I trust, brothers and sisters, God is calling you. Harden not your heart. If it's whether it's unto salvation or if it's unto being used, a vessel of honor, that as he says in Timothy, a vessel of honor used for every good work. I trust that you will heed God's calling for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. So, Father, you have called us right now. And we have heard you. Lord, help us not to harden our hearts, but help us to step out on faith and trust you, Lord God. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who has brought us back to you, Lord God, through the shedding of his blood. We thank you for your son, Lord God. What a blessing it is to have Christ in our lives. What a friend we have in Jesus. And if there's anyone who does not have Christ as a friend, who does not have Christ as Lord and Savior, that they will come to know him
before it's forever too late. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you. Lord, accept the praises of our hearts, Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.